The word of God given to us today is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Amen. The fifth most watched Korean film of all time is Ode to My Father. The story revisits more than 30 years of modern Korean history, from the Hungnam evacuation of December 1950 during the Korean War to the 1983 televised reunions for separated families between North and South Korea, through the story of a man named Yoon Deok-soo and his family. It is also a story about the fathers of our generation. That is why the English title of 국제시장 is Ode to My Father. Most of the film deals with the painful parts of our modern history, so I could hardly stop crying while watching it. However, there were several particularly memorable scenes in the movie. One especially striking scene appears in the beginning of the film. At Hungnam Pier, where the US and South Korean troops were evacuating, enormous crowds of people were desperately trying to board ships. At the time, there were reportedly more than 300,000 refugees there, but only about 90,000 were actually able to get on the ships. Among them was Deok-soo's family of six. Deok-soo's father and mother told him to take good care of his younger sister, Maksoon. However, just as Deok-soo and Maksoon were about to board the ship, someone suddenly pulled Maksoon away, causing her to fall below the boarding ramp. All that remained in Deok-soo's hand was the sleeve of her clothes. Then his father said he would go and look for Maksoon and told the rest of the family to leave first. In the end, only Deok-soo, his mother, and two younger siblings made it down to his aunt's home near Gukje Market in Busan. Deok-soo continued to carry a deep sense of guilt over losing Maksoon, which ultimately meant that not only she, but also his father could not come down with the family. One day he asked his mother, "Mother, don't you resent me?" "Why would I? Why do you never talk about Maksoon? Let's say, Deok-soo, that our house caught on fire. Suppose you're trapped inside the burning house and the rest of us were outside. What do you think your mother should do then? Of course, you would come in to save me." "No. If I tried to save you and ended up dying too, then who would feed and take care of your younger siblings? Thinking about Maksoon tears my heart apart, but right now I have to look after you and your brothers and sisters." "Why?" "Because I'm your mother. That's what a mother must do." "But because of me, father also..." "No, it's not your fault. Don't worry about such things and just study hard." "Why?" "Until your father returns, you are the head of this family. Understand?" In fact, his father had said the same thing before. Because of his mother's words, Deok-soo gradually grows into the role of the head of the family. To earn tuition money for his younger brother, who had been accepted to Seoul National University through hard work, Deok-soo goes to Germany as a Korean miner and works in the coal mines there. Although he himself had been accepted into a maritime university and dreamed of becoming a ship captain, he gives up that dream. Later, in order to prepare wedding funds for his younger sibling, he leaves to work in Vietnam. At the end of the film, Tok Soo, now in his 70s, quietly slips out of the room where his family is happily spending time together. He goes alone into the next room, looks at his father's photograph, and says in a quiet monologue, "Father, I kept my promise well, didn't I? I lived a good life, didn't I?" Then, sobbing, he adds, "But it was really hard for me." Tok Soo's mother had nothing of her own. She lived with three of her children in a small room provided by Tok Soo's aunt's family. She was not highly educated either. Yet in character and dignity, she was no less than any other mother in the world. She understood what kind of attitude parents should have in raising their children. Through such a mother, Tok Soo himself gradually grew and matured into a true father figure. Today's passage also tells what parents, as children of God, should be like. These are verses 1 through 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you enjoy long life on the earth." When God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments through Moses, he wrote them on two stone tablets. It is generally understood that the first tablet contained the commandments concerning God, the first through fourth commandments, while the second tablet contained commandments concerning humans, the fifth through tenth commandments. If that is so, then the first commandment regarding humans is the command to honor one's parents. Honoring one's parents is like the starting point of all human relationships. A proper, respectful, and loving relationship between parents and children becomes like a cornerstone and a pillar for building relationships with others. On the other hand, if a person's relationship with their parents has been unhealthy, disrespectful, or lacking in affection since childhood, that person may struggle to form healthy and mature relationships with others as well. Parents and children have lived together for a long time, so children can know the shortcomings of their parents, even if others do not know them. Children are sometimes hurt by their parents. So it says in the Word of God that we should honor our parents and not love them. It may be hard to love and respect your parents, but it says that we should honor them. As we ourselves continue through life, there are times when we come to understand aspects of our parents' lives that we could not understand in the past. If children are to obey their parents and honor their father and mother, then this is what God says parents should and should not do toward their children. This is verse 4 of today's passage. "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." What parents should not do toward their children is exasperate them. In the same way, the book of Colossians, one of Paul's prison epistles and often called a twin letter to Ephesians is this. This is Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. It says that parents should not provoke their children to anger because it can lead them to become discouraged. In other words, because it can deeply wound them. Parents who show favoritism, become absorbed in their own emotions, or act in a self-centered way can easily hurt their children. Beyond this, there are many other behaviors that can provoke children and leave emotional wounds. These include comparing children with others, overprotecting or neglecting them, excessive interference, unrealistic expectations, harsh discipline or verbal abuse, failing to respect a child's words or actions, inconsistent rules, refusing to admit when parents are clearly wrong, and conflicts between parents in front of their children. When parents are too inconsistent or overly driven by emotion, children often grow up learning only how to read moods and avoid conflict rather than developing a healthy sense of stability and confidence. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. What parents are called to do for their children is to raise them in the training and instruction of the Lord. The parents' highest role toward their children is upbringing and nurturing. The word bring up refers to the process of raising a child until they are able to understand, until they are able to stand on their own and live independently. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 29 through 30. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does for the church, for we are members of his body. No one hates their own body. People eat nutritious food to stay healthy and try to get better sleep. That is what it means to care for and nurture one's own body. In the same way, parents are called to raise their children with that kind of attitude, caring for them, providing for their needs, and guiding them with the same steady, intentional care. It says in Psalms, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him." In other words, children are not possessions that parents can do with as they please, but lives entrusted to them by God. Therefore, children do not merely exist for their parents' happiness, nor are they simply a means to fulfill their parents' wishes or expectations. Of course, it is true that parents find great joy in their children and experience gratitude as they become instruments through which God's will is accomplished. In other words, children are not possessions that parents can do. However, parents are called to help their children live in a right relationship with God in this world. This is one of the most important responsibilities of parents. Then what should parents do when raising their children? Today's passage says that they should bring them up with the training and instruction of the Lord. It is not to be done according to one's own knowledge or abilities, and certainly not according to worldly values. The dictionary definition of training is teaching that serves as a guidance for one's future behavior or life. In Korean, the word mainly refers to education given through words. However, the Greek word translated as training is paideia. This is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 to 10. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we all have had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in His holiness. The word translated as discipline in this passage is the same Greek word paideia, which is also translated as training. The word paideia is derived from pais, meaning child or son. Therefore, the most fitting way to understand paideia is forming as children. With that understanding, let us read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 to 10 again by replacing the word discipline with forms as children. Endure hardship as forming as children. God is treating you as His children. For what children are not formed by their father? If you are not formed as children, and everyone undergoes this, then you are not legitimate. Not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who formed us as children, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They formed us as children for a little while as they thought best, but God forms us as children for our good, in order that we may share in His holiness. Just as God has been shaping us so that we may become more like His children, parents are the very channels through which God forms our children into people who truly belong to Him. That is why the responsibility of parents is so great and weighty. And the English Bible translations render training as discipline. When we learn sports that use a ball, such as golf, tennis, table tennis, soccer, or basketball, or activities that use the body, such as swimming, taekwondo, judo, or boxing, and even yoga or Pilates, instructors, trainers, and coaches never teach only with words. Of course, they explain verbally, but at the same time, they always demonstrate how it is done themselves. Then they have the students practice it. If a trainer tried to teach only through words, it would probably be because the learner was already highly advanced and no demonstration was needed. But if the learner were still a beginner and the trainer only gave verbal instruction without demonstrating, then either the trainer would have no real intention of teaching properly or would not be qualified to teach at all. Parents are people who teach their children through their lives. The life of a parent speaks louder than any spoken words. Even the smallest actions of parents are heard more clearly and powerfully than words shouted through the best loudspeaker or sound system. In addition, the dictionary definition of instruction is to advise or warn someone so that they may avoid wrongdoing. The Greek word translated as instruction is nouthesia, which carries the meaning of teaching repeatedly until it is firmly impressed upon the mind. Therefore, if training refers to the process of nurturing through one's life, then instruction can be understood as the process of nurturing through words. A bow or a gun is a more powerful weapon than a sword or spear. And a cannon is far more powerful than a bow or a gun. Yet no war can be fought with cannons alone. Cannons, guns, and swords are all necessary because in war there are times when each of them are needed. There is an old Korean saying that goes, every child is born with their own rice ball. In the past, when agriculture was the main way of life, a great deal of labor was needed. Especially during the harvest season, even more workers were required. That is why there is a proverb that describes the busyness of harvest time. In autumn, even a fire poker comes out to help. This means that during the harvest season, people are so busy that even something as insignificant as a fire poker used in the hearth would seem to come out and help work. There's also another proverb. In the autumn season, even a dead body would twitch and move. This expression conveys just how overwhelming and exhausting the harvest work is, so busy and demanding that it would feel as if even the dead would come to move and help. These old proverbs no longer seem to apply today. 60 or 70 years ago, families had many children, but it was not uncommon for children who should have been sent to school to be kept at home for labor instead. And that is why compulsory education was introduced. With the start of compulsory education, the primary responsibility for education shifted to the state. The state can help children become knowledgeable. However, it can never provide spiritual or faith-based education. This responsibility belongs first to parents and then the church. Because raising children cannot be done with what we have on our own, nor can it be done according to secular values. The scripture says, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Israelites had come out of Egypt, spent nearly 40 years living in the wilderness, Moses, the leader of the Exodus, was nearing the end of his calling and the closing of his life. At that time, just before his life drew to a close, he reminded the Israelites of God's words and urged them that when they entered the land of Canaan, they must especially ensure the faithful religious education of their children. He instructed them to teach their children to love God not only through words, but through their entire lives, and to live in obedience to God's word. He urged them to lead their children into a life of knowing and practicing God's commandments. To make this possible, he appealed that the entire household must become spiritually centered on God. However, the parents of the Israelites did not keep this command. As a result, although they lived in the land of Canaan that God has promised, they ended up living lives far from God's promise, lives without God. The book of Judges records this tragic history. The common desire of all parents is for children to live better lives than they themselves have lived. This desire goes beyond basic human sentiment and is almost instinctive. However, when this desire becomes excessive, it can become an obstacle to forming a healthy society. We live in a very different age from the past. There is no need to even mention scientific and technological development, and changes in values are happening at a pace that cannot be compared to earlier times. One key difference regarding the families are that we now live in an era in which children may end up being less educated than their parents and may also have less than their parents. For those of my generation and older, most of our parents did not receive much education and did not possess much materially. As a result, it was natural that children would likely become more educated and have more than their parents. But today, that is no longer the case. Because of this, parents often become overly involved in their children's education, sometimes to an excessive degree. A female comedian uploaded a documentary-style video titled "Kindergarten Teacher Lee Min-ji's 24 Hours That Do Not End." In the video, one mother drops off her child at kindergarten and says, "My daughter is an introvert, and she gets drained when she is with extroverted children, so please group her with other introverted children." Another mother says, "My son has very sensitive skin, so after he uses the bathroom, please don't use the cheap wet wipes used at the kindergarten. Instead, please use plant-based fabric wet wipes." Despite such unreasonable requests, the teacher responds with a smile and agrees to accommodate them. In another case, a parent even suggests that the kindergarten should teach children about investing in stocks, so it was eventually introduced. It is not limited to that video. A primary school teacher appeared on a news program and spoke about the complaints she received from parents. One parent of its students said, "Although their child washed their hair before coming to school, they had not been able to dry it and asked the teacher to dry it for them." Another case occurred during online classes. When a student did not show up, the teacher called the mother, who responded, "It would be nice if the teacher could give my child a morning wake-up call every day." In another instance, during a field trip, a parent called the teacher and said, "I will send you money. Could you also buy food for my child?" Not only these cases, but recently news was reported that during school's sports days, sports events, some parents filed complaints saying the event was too noisy, leading schools to cancel this event. In addition, some parents even raised concerns about safety, about their children playing soccer. So soccer has been banned in an increasing number of schools. Excessive love towards one's child may no longer be love at all, but rather a form of parental obsession. It can also gradually prevent a child from going into someone with inner strength, instead shaping them into a dependent and passive person. Healthy parental love helps a child grow into someone who is able to stand on their own. Our church posts announcements for pastoral candidates in the fall on our church website. Nowadays, application materials are submitted only online, but in the past, they were accepted only by mail. Even now, a considerable number of applications are received, but in the past, there were even more. More than 10 years ago, over 200 sets of application materials for pastoral positions were received that year. A woman called the church office then and said her son was a highly capable person and had applied for a full-time pastoral position, asking us to take good care of his application. I replied, Oh, I understand. I found the application under his name. However, I did not open it. I believe that a pastor should not be someone who is influenced by the expectations of people, including their parents, but rather someone who is conscious of God. A few years later, the same woman who had called before contacted us again. She said, "This time my son has submitted his application again. Last time he was not fully prepared, but he has since received proper training and is now much better prepared too. So I asked for your consideration." I replied, "I understand." Found his application once again, but I did not open it. I do not know who the person who called was. I do not even remember the son's name. Although she may have intended to the very best for her son, it was actually the worst thing for him. After ending the call, I prayed for the caller, asking God to help her become a parent who allows her child to stand on his own. I also prayed that her son would become a pastor who stands independently before the Lord. Building a healthy family and household of faith does not require what appears to be superior in worldly values. This is because everything that belongs to the world is ultimately finite. Only the Lord's training and instruction are eternal. Only these can truly save us and our children. This is because the Lord we believe in is the eternal God. Let us all take off our sandals before the internal instruction and training of the Lord, before His Word. When we become people who humble ourselves before the Word of God, we can also become children who obey their children, who obey their parents and honor their father and mother. And we can also become parents who do not provoke their children to anger, but raise them in the Lord's instruction and training. May we truly become such children and parents, and through that, may we become the Lord's instruments who bring light and clarity to the world. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for reminding us today through your word what kind of children we should be and what kind of parents we should become. The world is becoming increasingly self-centered, with people focusing only on having their own desires fulfilled. We confess that as Christians, we too have often been swept along by these values, trying to raise our children according to worldly standards, and believing that a successful life is simply one that is filled with worldly things. Even though we have far more to possess and enjoy, and are far more educated than people of the past, the world is becoming increasingly harsh, selfish, and trapped in materialism. Please forgive us for our faults and sins. May you allow us, our children, and our descendants to be raised with the Lord's instruction and training by the living word of the Lord, which is eternal life. We confess that we have come to where we are today because you have been forming us as your children through your word. Now we ask that you help us to obey the Lord's instruction and training and submit to your word. We pray that all of us would take off our sandals before your word, so that in this world we may become salt and light and become your instruments to become purity and light to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.